Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the UK Tech Weekly Podcast. Good morrow, person with ears. Welcome to this, the best ever edition of the UK Tech Weekly Podcast. This is the UK's premium weekly technology podcast, sliding into your head every Friday like a warm batch of asp's milk. The UK Tech Weekly Podcast is a weekly hot air balloon of infotainment from the editors of PC Advisor, Techworld, Macworld UK and Computerworld UK. Every Friday, we head to an audio swimming pool, breaking the rules with audio bombing, smoking and heavy petting in order to bring you no more than 40 minutes of informed tech chat on the hot tech topics of the past 7 days. Please subscribe, rank us and tell your friends. You can get in touch at editor@idg.co.uk or via the @UKTechPodcast Twitter feed. I'm Matt Egan, Editorial Director of IDG UK. And today, I am delighted to be joined in conversation by the smooth as silk Ashley Allsop, Engagement Editor of PC Advisor and Macworld UK.
Hello.
The cool as ice Henry Burrell, a staff writer at PC Advisor and Macworld UK.
Hello.
And the cheap as chips Christopher Manassians, also a staff writer of PC Advisor and Macworld UK.
Hola, señor.
This week, we are talking Computex, not bad smartphones and terrible, terrible humans. So come with us on a journey through time and space. Love AMD tender, love AMD sweet, never let me go. Christopher Manassians, what has AMD been doing and why should we care?
I love how you come up with these
things. A little bit last minute this week.
They're amazing. Yeah, yeah. They're actually amazing. Okay, so AMD came out with a Radeon RX 480. So it's a new graphics card that's been announced to the market for $200 in the US. Hasn't been announced in the UK, as in pricing wise,
right.
But we can estimate around £160, including VAT,
okay,
which is extremely cheap. And given its specs, which is currently competing with the previous line of AMD cards, it seems to be, well, quite the head turner, quite literally, because it's focused on VR as well.
Okay, so let's just roll back this a little bit. To the uninitiated, £160 for a graphics card, to me, sounds expensive, but you're going to tell me it's cheap because of the virtual reality functionality?
Absolutely. Well, also because of, well, first of all, because of its competition. So NVIDIA announced the GTX 1070 and a 1080.
Is this the Pascal?
The Pascal, indeed. And they came in at £400 and I think £620.
And are these comparable products?
So these, well, we haven't tested them yet, but they're supposedly, according to our US colleagues, they're amazing. Both amazing graphics cards.
The NVIDIA ones.
The NVIDIA ones.
But I suppose what I'm asking is the AMD products comparable with the NVIDIA products? Because it's a very different price.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. I wouldn't say it is directly.
Right.
You couldn't directly compare the two. However, given that it's passed, as in the previous generation AMD cards, the R9390X, R9390, and the R9380, and there's a lot of numbers there. I'm sorry.
Some slightly blank looks around.
Yeah, like, what's going on? But those three cards previously were also well known among gamers and people who just liked buying cheaper graphics cards versus NVIDIA cards.
Right.
We're very impressed with them. And the reason why this is important is because the RX 480 kind of sits in the middle of the budget line and the high-end line of AMD's last-generation models. Hopefully I'm not confusing you.
Well, it's entirely possible you are confusing us, but that's good, because explain it to us and you'll be able to explain it to the listener. So what you're saying, if I'm right, is that this is this is pretty mid-range and potentially very good value because it's mid-range. But if you're so speaking to, let's take someone at random, Henry.
Pretty random guy. Don't know what's going on.
You're not a huge gamer particularly.
No, I mean, I was sort of kind of thinking as you were talking about that, because we had the HTC Vive in the other week, and it was very, very impressive, even for someone like me who doesn't game that much. But 160 quid-ish for a new graphics card, would you be able to put that into a relatively low-spec computer and run something like the Vive on it? Or is it still kind of that problem, I see it as a problem, as having to like drop several thousand pounds on a setup?
That's a really good question, and that's exactly what AMD are trying to address. So according to their presentation, according to their release, they're saying it is... you can do VR on it.
Okay.
Now, for us to actually test it and to say it does, I don't know, X amount of frames per second, or it's slower in this respect, so that's something I guess we'd have to test. Shout out to AMD, can you send us one? and NVIDIA, as a matter of fact. But yeah, in that respect, yes, you would be able to do a budget build on your PC, and yet drop, say, £400-£500 on a VR headset and get it running. So, yeah, it should be possible.
But... So if you had a sort of fairly standard desktop PC, that's really interesting. Actually, you had a go at the HTC Vive.
And I did.
As I recall, seemed to quite enjoy it.
I loved it. I didn't expect to love it as much as I did. But, yeah, the thing that puts me off is the fact that you need a really expensive PC. So I guess if that's going to be addressing the situation, then it could mean that the Vive and other VR headsets are going to take off a lot more than they would otherwise, because it's definitely limiting for a lot of people, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. But they'd need to get manufacturers to make these PCs, presumably, because, again, three of the four of us sitting around this table wouldn't be comfortable... upgrading a PC, even if that's obviously the inexpensive thing to do. So this strikes me as a smart move by AMD. But do you think PC manufacturers, potentially laptop manufacturers, is that even possible? Are they going to use these products, do you think?
Well, first of all, laptops won't be able to utilize in the same way.
Too physically big.
Because they're literally physically too big. Unless someone creates some magic adapter, unless it's out already, I highly doubt, but that would be amazing. Like an external graphics card for a laptop. Wow.
Well, that would be quite interesting anyway, because you could, if you could plug something in that made your existing PC, desktop or laptop, VR ready, that's a potential game changer.
Indeed. But for the time being, all we can see for laptop users would be like a similar chip. A smaller chip that would go into a laptop. Now, would that be able to power VR? We don't know.
Yeah.
My guess is no, because the amount of bandwidth and the amount of data that is just streamed through the graphics cards are quite high, and in a small little chipset, it'll be quite hard to do and to cool it appropriately. But who knows? But in terms of PCs, then yes, it's something that. It's very much easy to do, actually. It's literally just pressing a button on a within your PC, removing your previous graphics card and putting a new one in.
No, you've lost me.
I wouldn't even know what the graphics card was. I'd probably take out something else. And be like, hey, why is this not working?
What's this process?
It's not a card. It's like a small box. It's massive.
I always think they look like spaceships.
Like cool a robot spaceships. Arm.
Yeah.
So. I think what's interesting here then is, you know, honestly, I didn't think I'd be that interested, but you've made an interesting point about this announcement from AMD potentially sort of democratizing the ability to afford virtual reality. Again, I do think it requires products, because all of this stuff and the brief conversation we just had points towards like the PlayStation VR being a real winner, because it's just a thing you can buy and plug in to your existing products.
Mm. Exactly. Well, that's the thing. It's not only trying to address the VR. So, I mean, I know we went into a sort of VR discussion because of how cheap it is and how affordable it is for those who want VR. But let's not forget that VR itself, the headset itself, is quite expensive. Yep. I think it's like £400 or something like that. Oculus 500 or top of my head, it's probably a bit more.
HTC Vive's more than 600 quid.
Yeah, well, there we go. I mean, so if someone's spending 600 quid on a HTC Vive, then... it surprised me that it would cheap out on a graphics card. But at the same time, AMD are also addressing just general gamers. So a lot of people would like to play, for example, the upcoming Battlefield 1, which we had a discussion, I think, a couple of weeks ago on the podcast about. And that game would run much better on a better graphics card versus a low-end one. And so people upgrading from a
sure.
2-3-year-old AMD or NVIDIA graphics card to the RX 480 would notice not only a massive boost in performance, but a smoother experience, less problems, and just more compatibility.
Sure. So was this announced at Computex?
It was indeed, yes.
So just for the uninitiated, what is Computex?
So it's just, as far as I'm aware, is a show that's... I can't explain it. It's like a...
It's a huge trade show, isn't it? It's a components trade show in the Far East. And it's interesting to me because in the old days, and I'm quite old, PC components and things like that, that was big news. Not so much these days because we buy consumer products. But we've also seen, as you were saying, NVIDIA have made some announcements at Computex. Presumably Intel have announced.
They have indeed, yeah.
Some stuff. I just wonder if it's at all, Computex has at all crossed the radars of Henry or Ashley being consumer technology journalists. Probably not.
Honestly, no, but we only know about it because we've talked about it in the office. But if we didn't work here, we probably wouldn't have heard about it. So it is definitely a bit more niche, but that's just because it's one of those things where we don't necessarily need to know about it, but the results of it is what we need to know about. So, sure. You know, how it affects us in the end. We might not necessarily actually ever buy or see any of the products or announcements that are made.
So it's about how these components fit into consumer products, I suppose. Yeah. Which is kind of the point I'm making, that the world has changed a lot.
Yeah.
It used to be much more about people buying or individual small PC manufacturers buying these components and putting them into things, whereas now... We buy products, we plug them in, we expect them to work.
Yeah.
Just quickly, Christopher, as we finish this conversation off, where are NVIDIA and AMD against each other in this kind of graphics card space?
Oh, God.
And it's not a quick question, is it?
Well, no, it's more the... There's a lot of fanboys behind it, or fangirls even.
Fan people.
Fan people? Like, literally fans? But yeah, red versus green armies, as we like to call them.
What?
I like to call them.
Is that why you're wearing green trousers?
I'm wearing red trousers.
Well, AMD, there we go. AMD and NVIDIA, fantastic.
I think Henry could have at least worn some trousers.
It's just more comfortable like this.
This time we can't lie that we've got the camera rolling, so we've got... But anyway, back to the question. It's... NVIDIA have definitely taken a large market share and are definitely a lot more popular among just gamers and just general consumers because everything works with their NVIDIA products. Oh, and generally speaking, drivers are the biggest thing. So as you said, plug and play. People just want to take a graphics card, upgrade it, and as I said, it's simple enough, at least to me, to replace the graphics card. And then you have to deal with all driver issues, compatibility issues, software not running as it is, and AMD have notoriously been known for having poor driver support and poor game support, and because of that they've lost a lot of respect throughout the community.
Wow.
And that is why NVIDIA have taken a massive market share from AMD. So let's just try and see if this year AMD can actually make a comeback. I mean, AMD is in almost, as far as I'm aware, in both consoles, so the Xbox One and the PS4, so they've got that sort of market share, but in terms of consumers, NVIDIA's still winning.
Interesting. Okay, so with that in mind, let's go around the room. AM decent or AM doomed? Christopher?
AM decent for sure.
Henry?
If I had a bit more money, AM decent.
Ashley Allsop?
I have literally no idea.
Excellent. Okay, we will take a very short break and we'll be back shortly to talk about Windows phones. How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the Microsoft operating system. Henry Burrell, you have been trying Windows Phone, and you've made a surprising discovery. What gives?
It's not terrible.
It's not terrible.
Considering literally nobody in the world owns a Windows Phone, I've been pleasantly surprised. Our consumer tech editor over at PCA, Chris Martin, has... a Narnia wardrobe full of mobile phones.
He does.
So I thought I'd dip into it. And what came out was the Microsoft Lumia 950.
Nice
which
one.
Is... Yeah,
flagship.
Flagship, yep. Out about 6 months ago, I think. And I just thought I'd use it because I've never really played around with the OS before. I use an Android phone normally. I've had an iPhone in the past, so thought I'd do the third one. And I can't really understand what everyone's beef with it is. All the misconceptions I had of it before I used it have kind of gone now. It's got the same battery life. It's got just as good a screen, pretty much. It looks quite nice.
Yeah.
And really, the whole thing that at least tech journalists get hung up about, because I'm not even sure if mainstream consumers even consider it an option, is this whole app gap thing.
Yeah.
About not having the developers on side, not having the right apps and everything. I haven't found a single app that I use day to day that's not on there, really, apart from BBC News. But yeah, it's pretty middle of the road.
And you could, I mean, the argument that Microsoft always made was that you could just have a shortcut to the website anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Some people don't like that idea. I think a few Apple fans wouldn't like that idea. Mm-hmm. Well, with the whole app ecosystem. But really, I haven't found much to complain about. There's a couple of bugs that you kind of just get over, like Spotify doesn't list my albums in alphabetical order, but if there's a bigger first world problem, I haven't heard it.
Interesting. So just quickly around the room, Christopher, you're an Android user?
I'm an Android user, yeah.
Ashley, you use an iPhone?
Yeah, an iPhone.
I'm Android, but also I've also used iPhone in the past. I also have used Windows Phone, but never as my principal phone, but yeah. I've tested Windows phones, and I completely share your view. So it's interesting to me that it has this perception that it's bad in some way, and it is failing because Microsoft is pulling out of the consumer.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the whispers are that they're not going to even bring out the long rumored Surface phone to match up with their Surface tablet and that really expensive computer they've just made. But I was sort of looking into it a bit, and it all kind of, well, with beautiful hindsight, looked like a bad idea for them to buy out Nokia. Steve Ballmer, the previous CEO, it was always his plan to basically try and compete with Apple in the hardware market, which is just insane if you think about it. But yeah, it's a bit of a shame that it's become such an insane idea because it's Microsoft.
Well, I wondered if it wasn't necessarily the long-term plan to compete, because they always allowed third parties to make Windows phones. HTC basically been the only people who did. But I thought maybe the idea was a bit like with the Surface. If we make things and create a market, other people will join us in that market, which is why they bought Nokia being at the time the biggest by volume handset manufacturer. Have you, Christopher, Ashley, have you guys used Windows Phone at any point?
I've literally used it for like a day and I didn't really like it, but I think I don't really like Android either. I think I'm just completely caught up with iOS, unfortunately. Sorry. So yeah, I didn't really like it, but I suppose I didn't really give it much of a chance, and maybe I should try it again.
I think the funny thing about the comparison between Windows Phone and iPhone is I think they have much more in common than Android does with either of them, because Windows Phone is like iPhone, locks down. You get a specific experience. You can't install apps from outside of the Windows world in the way as you can with iPhone. How about you, Christopher? You got much experience with Windows Phone?
Yeah, I've used Windows Phone quite a lot. Back in the past, I think when Windows Phone 8 first came out, back in the days, I was invited to go to their launch, and I was really, really impressed with their phones. And in fact, I always said to myself that if I ever had to buy my mum a phone, which I actually bought her Android phone because she really wanted an Android phone, but that's up to her. But a Windows phone would generally be my go-to option.
Yeah.
Because they're generally solid phones. As you said, like, the operating system is fantastic. Yeah, at least in my opinion, it's super smooth. You don't have to worry about like...
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's pretty easy to get to grips with as well.
Very easy. It's quicker to adopt. Like if you've never used a smartphone in your life, to go to a Windows phone versus even iOS, it's that simple and that easy to use.
But I completely agree, actually. It's a really good example you give, because with both my parents, I was pushing them towards Windows phone because I thought it would just be the easiest adoption for them. But again, I suppose this might explain some of the failures, that they went to the high street store from whom they get their contract phones and were pushed anywhere but towards Windows phone. You know, it was basically mid-range to low-range Android phones that they wanted to flog them, which I guess might explain in some ways why Windows Phone hasn't succeeded as a mass-market product.
Yeah. This particular handset as well, I was looking back at some of the reviews, not necessarily ours. I think the PC Advisor review is actually quite fair, and Chris does a good job to update articles. But when this phone came out, it was lambasted for being having like a plastic back,
right,
rather than like glass or metal or something, which again is who cares?
Yeah.
But apparently people do.
I smashed the glass back of my phone last night. Did you? So I would like to have
But I think a lot of people, if they were ever tempted to go to Windows Phone, they would look at the press reception to that phone. And if at the first instance it's bad, and maybe unfairly bad, it's just not helping Microsoft at all. I think when this phone first came out, like, Instagram was still in beta, the Twitter app looked horrible, the firmware was very buggy, so it used to shut down quite a lot.
Right.
I'm using it 6 months later, which isn't that long, even though it arguably is for a smartphone. But all those problems are fixed. Instagram's not in beta anymore. I can use Slack for work. It hasn't shut down once because of a firmware update. So, okay, maybe Microsoft shouldn't have put it out with all those
bugs. It's a classic Microsoft.
Yeah, it is pretty classic Microsoft. But at least worth pointing out that it actually runs really well now.
Yeah. And do we think, is there an issue here with, like, you kind of alluded to this here, of what you might call cool factor?
Yeah,
that the people who do care about such things are going to avoid Windows Phone.
Yeah, I mean, Christopher, you use a Windows 10 computer. But then again, you're using an Android phone. I know that Jim, who works here, is staunch Windows supporter, but he's got an iPhone.
Yeah.
So like even those guys who are still rallying behind the operating system, which is now actually technically the same on the phone as on the computer, will never use a Mac, still can't bring themselves to use the phone.
Yeah.
And it's just not very cool. Microsoft has never been that cool a company. It's just sort of always been there.
Sure.
Just a quick note, though, actually. Where that Microsoft /Nokia won is actually the business side.
Yeah.
So true. I think we had a discussion about BlackBerry slowly dying down, and because of BlackBerry, companies looked at other phones, and obviously Android being not as secure, supposedly, companies almost dismissed that. iOS was too expensive. Well, just Apple just generally was too expensive. And the next alternative was Windows. And you're like, well, it's got all the server integration. It's got all the Office apps already pre-installed with 365, I think it is. And therefore, it was the perfect business phone. So I think Microsoft almost missed a trick and said, why don't we just focus solely on our enterprise /business?
Well, I think that's the whisper that's coming out now, is what they're going to do.
Is that actually?
I mean, the challenge there is that increasingly people just take their own phones in and expect to use them. Yeah. The BYOD phenomenon, as it's known. But yeah, completely. In a world in which BlackBerry is, you know, floundering, Windows Phone is the obvious choice for an enterprise fleet of smartphones. So it'd be interesting to see how that pans out. Because in the consumer space, we are basically now at Android or iOS. And I don't know, is that a healthy situation?
I don't know, really. I mean, it's all become about the operating system based around it. If you go back 10, 15 years, I don't really know why we all chose our phones, those weird little slidey and flippy phones and everything. It was never about the operating system, was it? It was if it looked cool.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's just how it's changed.
I mean, there are other alternatives, but, you know, Firefox, Sailfish,
Ubuntu.
Amazon, yeah. Do you know what? I completely forgot about that.
Everyone forgot about that.
BlackBerry is still just about there or thereabouts. We've lost things like HP Web OS, which was a really good operating system based on the Palm OS. And that's interesting because when the iPhone came out the same year, Palm bought out the Palm Pre, clearly post iPhone, but you know, broadly similar in terms of quality. And it had this Palm OS, which later became Web OS, which was really good. Trust me, people are looking unsure. It really was good, but you know, it couldn't compete with the iPhone. It wasn't as good as the iPhone, and no longer exists. No. HP no longer makes smartphones.
Just one final point. I think Microsoft they're just too late.
Oh, yeah.
I think what they're doing now is really good. But even, I mean, late in terms of like maybe 4 or 5 years too late, but like, which isn't actually that long. Something really interesting I read, I can't remember where.
PC Advisor probably.
It probably was, yeah. Satya Nadella, the current CEO, he's massively pushed giving Office 365 apps to iOS users for free because he understands the value of having your software on other people's hardware. Mm-hmm. Whereas apparently Steve Ballmer once saw a very early iPad version of Office and he refused to let them release it because it was better than the Windows alternative.
Yeah.
And it was that kind of attitude that he wanted Microsoft to run the best software on its own hardware.
Right.
And so delayed the launch of that. But now you think about it and that's pretty nuts.
Madness gone mad. Yeah. Okay. Let's go around the room then. Windowsy or win-win? Christopher Menezes.
What a lad.
They both
that.
Sound good to me.
I'll go win-win.
Win-dozy. Dozy.
Okay. I'm a bit slow. I'm dozy. Okay. I'll go with win-win.
Henry Burrell.
Win-win.
Yeah, I say win-win as well.
Brilliant. So that you heard it here first, listener. Windows Phone is on its way back. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best for you. No, I'm not going to do the next bit. But not you, audience member. Ashley Allsop. Why might that have been something that Adele said?
Because that's just really throwing me off. That was amazing.
I was going to go for the high bit, but
So basically, at a recent concert, because Adele is on tour at the moment, I'm not sure exactly where this concert was, but she just noticed that a lot of people were filming her, and she just said to someone in the audience, she said, "Could you stop filming me with that video camera? Because I'm really here in real life, and you can enjoy it in real life rather than through your camera. It isn't a DVD, this is a real show. There are lots of people outside that couldn't come in." So it's basically just highlighting the fact that everyone, you know, I've seen it so many times when you go to a concert or any kind of any event, live event, you see people filming it and they're looking at their phone screen. They're not even looking at the thing that's happening in real life. So it just feels like it's such a shame that that's what they think is necessary in order to enjoy it and look back at it later. But you need to be able to enjoy it right there in the moment. Otherwise, you're never really going to get the full experience. So
no one's ever looking back at that video.
No, exactly.
So it's like really a weird behaviour that people got into where almost like for it to be real, you have to capture it somehow.
Yeah, but it's just such a shame. And when I'm quite near the back of a concert or whatever, you just see in front of you, all you can see is screens. You can hardly see anything else, and it's just like, I don't know, I just find it really sad. And obviously a lot of musicians and actors and all sorts of people getting really upset by it because they also find it sad. So there was also Benedict Cumberbatch. He was in Hamlet, and he famously quite recently afterwards, outside the stage door, he said to everybody that he was really annoyed that people were filming because it's really not supportive and stuff like that. So it's even worse, I think, in a show like that, in Hamlet. Or,
sure.
you know,
it's going to break the mood, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And he was basically saying he wants to give a live performance that they'll remember in their brains and instead of on their phones. So
and it's definitely, because there's two issues here, actually. There is also, there's the antisocial behaviour, but there's also the worry about copyright.
Yeah.
But I guess in Adele's case, from that quote, it would seem that it was the behaviour that she was worried about.
Yeah. The funny thing is that the reason the news got out about it is because someone had filmed it and put it on the internet. So,
irony complete.
Yeah, so it's kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, I've been to a fair few gigs where I feel not only is it ruined by some jackass in front of me filming it on his... Someone filmed it on a BlackBerry in front of me once, which annoyed me even more.
or an iPad.
Yeah. But not only are they sort of ruining the experience for the person they're standing in front of, but also it just takes away a bit from the atmosphere. Like, gigs are meant to be like a... Well, depending on the music, bit of a raucous occasion, you know, like the kind of the whole room as one sort of thing.
Yeah.
Well, it's certainly supposed to be a relationship between the performer and
the audience. Yeah. Whereas now it's like a relationship between the performer and that person's, I don't know, Periscope followers, which is so depressing.
Yeah, exactly.
There are some positives, right? Because you can, like, you know, for instance, people can use their phones and it creates a sort of light effect.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. Rather than
it used
flame.
To be lighters, yeah, so now it's turned into
much
torches.
Safer.
Yeah, much safer. They probably banned lighters, so they had to go with torches. But yeah, that's probably the only time when I think it's okay. But I mean, I have filmed, whenever I go to something, I do film like a tiny snippet just to remind myself.
I like to take a photo.
Yeah. But when you see people who film the entire thing, it's like... Crazy. Especially, I think sometimes if I do film anything, I'll hold the phone up higher so that I can see still. And the film's probably rubbish because I'm not looking at what I'm actually capturing, but I can still see. But most people that I see filming are looking at the screen, and that's what upsets me. But I don't know.
It is a bit sad, I think. But I mean, are these? I just wonder whether these are just new behaviours that we're going to have to get used to.
Probably.
So I thought I was thinking of some other of these. I mean, selfies. And the classic one. I just cannot, to this day, get my head around that. And anybody I see carrying a selfie stick, you know, I have dark thoughts about that person. But, you know, again, maybe that's just a generational thing.
Well, selfie sticks have been banned a lot. I think they're actually kind of going out a little bit now. Like, people realise that they're not cool. And they look pretty stupid. So selfie sticks are kind of... I think we might be getting past that slowly but surely. But
I was thinking about like when people listen to music through leaky headphones, but also increasingly with no headphones.
I know.
So rude.
That's been going on for years, though.
In the changing room at the gym.
Really?
To me this morning, there's a middle-aged guy sitting there listening to some terrible, cheesy music, just as if it's...
And
okay.
It's really bad because the speakers on most phones are rubbish as well, so it just
but
sounds
it's also
awful.
It's just pollution. It's like, I don't want to... be forced to listen to your choice of music.
We have on the trains we have a quiet zone certain carriages, and you know, people seem to choose the quiet zone on purpose so that they can annoy people by putting on their phone and playing it out loud.
There's a reverse to that as well, though, because I find like I will listen to music on my headphones and I promise you it's at a quiet volume and no one can hear it, but some people will still take the opportunity on the quiet coach to go, I'm sorry, no headphones
what?
On this coach.
No.
Really? Maybe that's a Southwest Trains thing.
Maybe. I've never heard that before.
I think it goes back to your point earlier about, is this just something we'll have to get used to? And is there an actual correct technology etiquette?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'd like to think I adhere to, for example, particularly in my previous job, I had loads of meetings. I would never get my phone out.
Yeah.
I wear a smartwatch sometimes. I would try not to even look at that if it buzzed.
Totally.
Whereas I had colleagues who were sort of my my equal and my senior as well, and they would just get out their phone in the middle of a meeting. Sometimes
really
with clients
weird.
Looking at it and like, oh my God.
Or laptops even. People sit with
laptops
it,
like, somehow that's okay.
Quite clearly be working.
On
no, I'm quite the same. And actually the equivalent of that, which I had written down, were his phones at the dinner table. Which is just it's the equivalent to, I suppose, when I was a kid, like we just didn't have the telly on when we were eating, kind of.
Yeah.
And then I suppose even if you're in the pub or whatever, it's just one of those things that there's a real balance between being quite militant about these things, but it just being quite rude if someone's clearly not engaged.
Particularly like the pub or something, like if you've gone to the pub with a group of mates, like who are you talking to on your phone?
Yeah, hang on a minute, we're all here. Yeah, that's a good point.
It goes back, yes, it's back to the social media thing, isn't it? Those people at those gigs are filming those things because they basically want to show off to someone at some point.
Yeah.
It's not a document for themselves.
Which is why, you know, like I said, if I go to a gig, I do take a photo, and generally speaking, it's to post it on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
Same if I go to a sporting event or, you know.
Yeah.
So I am as guilty as anyone, but I suppose what we're saying is it's sad not to be in the moment. Really.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It is. We're kind of living our lives constantly on the internet or whatever, or through technology, but you know, we forget to live them in real life.
Yeah,
it's exhausting.
It expands to the outside world as well. What's that thing you saw, Ashley? That was there was a city that's thinking of putting don't walk signs at eye level.
So that people who are constantly looking at their phones don't need to worry about the roads. I was like, what? That can't be a real thing. It's just encouraging it, I think. But then I guess if it's for safety reasons, they haven't really got a choice.
Yeah. But we have started to see Chris Martin. Normally the engineer of this podcast, was at a festival at the weekend where phones were banned.
Innocent Unplugged, I think the festival's called.
The Smoothie People.
And they there was meant to be no tech, obviously Unplugged, but he said that there was loads of people there that were all filming and using their phones and stuff. So it was a bit of a shame, because even at an event that was specifically saying, you know, don't use technology, people still used it. So I don't know.
But it's interesting that there would even be an event.
Yeah.
Where part of the marketing is around the
part
fact
of the appeal of it.
You can switch off. Yeah. It's one of the reasons why, you know, I really like running. It's because it's the only time when I'm completely unplugged.
Yeah.
Although, you know, again, I've got a young daughter, and, you know, I really consciously try not to be on my phone around her, because it's so easy just to teach that as a behaviour, that's just the norm. Are we just being grumpy old people here?
Yeah, I was just thinking that we maybe are just moaning a lot. But
I don't think so. I mean, I'm a huge techie, and yet when I go out with friends, I often see them on their phones, and I'm like, I'm the biggest geek here. I'm the guy that's always talking about phones or always on my phone just generally. But when I'm with my friends or when I'm at a social event, I want to be with you guys. I don't want to be looking at a phone, because that can come later. Obviously, if there's someone that's coming, or I need to text them or something like that, that's something else. Or it's like emergency, fair enough. But most of the time, people are like on their Facebook or Instagram or Twitter feed. I'm like, what are you doing? Just look up, look what's going around you. The same applies, like in my daily commute, I hardly ever look at my phone, even though I've got nothing else better to do, because I don't get the, don't get a newspaper. But I have my music in, but I just look at people. I'm looking at people, and all
weird staring.
But all people are doing are like glued, quite literally glued to their phones. And
it's funny how that's changed actually as well, because I've been commuting from outside London for 8 years, I think. And I remember it used to be books, and now everybody has at least one, and usually more than one, digital device.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is not necessarily a bad thing. It's just it in so much as it affects behaviour, it's interesting, I guess.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, let's close up by going around the room. Adele Hell or Rebel Against Adele? Christopher Menassians.
Adele Hell.
Henry Burrell.
In more ways than one, Adele Hell.
Ashley also. I'm with you on that as well.
Adele Hell, is that the right one?
I don't know. You get to make a decision.
Well, I agree with Adele.
Okay,
right?
that's Adele Hell.
Good.
That's not
Adele Hell.
Against Adele.
Sorry.
Good. Well, I think we cleared up some important issues there, and also had a sort of slightly cathartic therapy session.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening to this edition of the UK Tech Weekly podcast. Do get in touch, let us know your thoughts and opinions, and to shake us down for cash, or indeed if you're interested in advertising. You can tweet us at UK Tech Podcast or email editor@idg.co.uk. We will be back next week with more informed opinion on the hottest topics in tech. Until then, say goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Goodbye, guys.
UK Tech Weekly podcast.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.